St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claim, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead? For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be righteous and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. And he promised her on oath, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed. But because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with order to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day now for the last 9 months, I've driven by the playground over here by the intermediate school. And each day during the week, it is filled with kids playing outside on recess or doing something for gym class. I remember those middle school days very well, without real fond memories of them. Our gym teachers would have us divide up into two teams to play kickball outside or basketball inside if it was raining. They always chose the same two or three boys to be the captains, and then they would choose the teams. I'm sure many of you have been through this. The tallest, the strongest, the fastest always go first. Soon there are a few kids remaining that never get chosen. Too small, too heavy, too weak. Then the gym teacher says that the two captains must sort through those leftovers. No one wants to be a leftover, no matter what it is. When you're younger, a part in the school play. Later on, applying for a job. Even later still, a promotion at work. Every single one of us wants to be chosen, picked for the team, be part of the group. You see, in this world, being chosen says something about who we are, a sense of belonging, an identity. In many ways, being chosen means you are special. But if we are left out, then the opposite must be true. For some reason, we don't measure up. We are not good enough. In our society, where a person's value is based on worldly standards, it's easy to feel like we don't belong. If we wear the out-of-style clothes, we drive an old car, we don't have the right looks, well, then we just don't measure up. You aren't good enough, therefore, you don't belong. And if we apply that same system of determining value and worth in the church, Well, we quickly see that when it comes to the spiritual things, we don't belong here either. We say in our creed that we believe in one holy Christian church and the communion of the saints. But looking back, perhaps saint is not the first word that comes to mind when describing our past actions. Each of us have plenty that we can recall times, that is, when we failed to live up to how God created us to live. We look at his word, we read his law, and we can easily see where we have broken just about every commandment. We may even have a particular sin, maybe many of them, that we are so ashamed of that we've never admitted it to anyone. I've got them. You have them. We all do. Our sins show us quite well that we don't belong in the church, that we aren't good enough to be in God's presence, let alone chosen by him. But Paul, in our epistle reading this morning, has a little bit different take on all of this. Listen to some of the highlights from the opening paragraph of his letter to the Ephesians and see if you can pick out the acting agent and see who is receiving the action. Paul writes, "He has blessed us. He chose us. He predestined us. He has blessed us a second time. He lavished upon us. He set forth in us." Notice that in these verses, it is God doing the action. He's doing the choosing. He is deciding who belongs to him. And on what basis is he doing the choosing? It isn't based on our actions or how well we meet his expectations, because all of us have sinned and have fallen short of his glory. Instead, Paul says he chooses us to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoptions to himself as a son through Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Why are we chosen? God chooses us for one reason and one reason only. And no, it's not my dashing good looks or my college degrees or any good deed I may have done. Instead, he chooses me, as he chooses you, all of us together, based not on our merit, but on the merit of Jesus, which are freely given to us. Freely credited to us by faith, we are made his. In Jesus, through faith in his life, death, and resurrection, God loves us and chooses us. Therefore, we belong to him. He's the captain, and he made us part of his team, part of his family. And when you look at Scripture, you will see story after story of God choosing someone to be his, not because they were so worthy, but simply because he loves them. Look at David. The smallest of his entire family would grow up to have a man murdered just so he could have his wife. And still God chose him as king and the forerunner of Jesus. Look at Paul, a persecutor of the early Christians, proudly walking around with blood on his hands. Still God chooses him to be an apostle to the world. Did God choose them because they were so good? Absolutely not. He chose them because he loved them and wanted them to be his. In last week's gospel, Jesus sent out his disciples, not exactly pillars of the community, but Jesus sends them out into the world with his authority. And the men go out and do great things, not because they were great people, but because they belonged to him. Luke writes about this event, and he says that when the men returned, they were excited about all the things that they had done, healing people, casting out demons. But Jesus said they shouldn't be excited about the things that they could do. Instead, they should rejoice that their names are written in the book of life. Rejoice, Jesus says, because you belong to me. Perhaps if you want to close your eyes and think back into the distant past, a time before time was, into the vast emptiness before creation, God existed alone. And before he ever said, "Let there be light," he chose you. Paul says he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons to himself, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the promise of his will. Before you were, before anything was, God chose you. That makes you special. Special to him. He wrote your name in the book of life, for he wants you to be with him forever. This truly is a source of comfort and joy to know that you are his both now and forever. Solely because of faith in Jesus, you are that special to him. An ancient custom in the church is to make the sign of the cross at various times during our service. Invocation, absolution, at the Lord's Supper. It is a reminder of your baptism. And when you remember your baptism, you remember that on that day you received the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and your heart, marking you as one redeemed by Christ our crucified Lord. Therefore, you belong to God. When the next time that we come to the rail here and share in Holy Communion, when you receive the body of our Lord, look down at that wafer and you'll see a cross marked on the top of it. Let it remind you that through the sacrifice of Jesus, you have been marked and you belong. You are that special to him. And someday in the future, each of our lives on this earth will come to an end. And one thing is for certain, we will not have to lie there wondering, was I good enough to be chosen? No, we know that we will be with Jesus because he died for us and he chooses us to be with him forever. Are we good enough to be chosen? Absolutely not. But Jesus has freely given us his perfection. And the result then is yes. Therefore, let us praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Why would we do that? Because we belong to him. Amen.